ద్రవసంయుతం సుఖముఖాతమృత ద్రవసంయుతం పిబత భాగవతం రసమాలయం పిబత భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయం ముదీరయేత్ నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. కక్షేమో నిజ పరాయో కక్షేమో నిజ పరాయో కియాన్ వార్త స్వపరద్రుహధర్మేన. కియాన్ వార్త స్వపరద్రుహధర్మేన. కియాన్ వార్త స్వపరద్రుహధర్మేన. స్వద్రోహాత్ తవ కోపః పరసంపీదయా చ తతాదధర్మః. పరసంపీదయా చ తతాదధర్మః. కక్షేమో నిజ పరాయో కియాన్ వార్త స్వపరద్రుహధర్మేన. స్వద్రోహాత్ తవ కోపః పరసంపీదయా చ తతాధర్మేహ. ప్రభుస్ సాకేశపరాయ. కియాన్ వార్త స్వపరద్రుహధర్మేన. స్వద్రోహాత్ తవ కోపః పరసంపీదయా చ తతాధర్మః. మాతాజీ కక్షేమో నిజ పరయో కియాన్ వార్త స్వపరద్రుహధర్మేన. స్వద్రోహాత్ తవ కోపః పరసంపీదయా చ తతాధర్మః. కక్షేమో నిజ పరాయో కియాన్ వార్త స్వపరద్రుహధర్మేన. స్వద్రోహాత్ తవ కోపః పరసంపీదయా చ తతాధర్మః. కక్షేమో నిజ పరాయో కియాన్ వార్త స్వపరద్రుహధర్మేన. స్వద్రోహాత్ తవ కోపః परसंपीतया च तथा धर्मः क व्हाट क्षेमः बेनिफिट निज टू वन सेल्फ परायोः एंड टू अदर्स कियान हाउ मच वा और अर्थः पर्पस स्वपरद्रुह विच इज एनवियस ऑफ द परफॉर्मर एंड ऑफ अदर्स धर्मेन विद अ रिलीजियस सिस्टम स्वद्रोहात् फ्रॉम बीइंग एनवियस ऑफ वन्स ओन सेल्फ तव ऑफ यू कोपः एंगर परसंपीदया बाय गिविंग पेन टू अदर्स च ऑल्सो तथा एज वेल एज अधर्मः इररिलिजन ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभयचरणानंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की ट्रांसलेशन प्लीज रिपीट How can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices irreligion. Purport. Any religious system, but the process of Bhagavata Dharma, the service as an eternal servant to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a system of envy of one's own self and others. For example, there are many systems of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended. Such animal sacrifices are inauspicious both for the performer and for the animal. Although one is sometimes permitted to sacrifice an animal before goddess Kali and eat it instead of purchasing meat from a slaughterhouse, the permission to eat meat after a sacrifice in the presence of goddess Kali is not the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is simply a concession for the miserable person who will not give up eating meat. It is meant to restrict his desire for unrestricted meat eating. Such a religious system is condemned. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. That is the last word in religion. One may argue that the sacrifice of the animals is recommended in the Vedas. This recommendation is, however, a restriction. Without Vedic restriction on the purchase of meat, people will purchase meat from the market, which is over flooded with meat shops, and slaughterhouses will increase. To restrict this, sometimes the Vedas say that one may eat meat after sacrificing an insignificant animal like a goat before goddess Kali. In any case, a system of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended is inauspicious for those who perform the sacrifices and for the animal. The envious persons who perform ostentatious animal sacrifices are condemned in Bhagavad Gita 16.17 as follows. Atma sambhavita stabdha dana manam mandavitaha యజ్ఞతే నామ యజ్ఞైస్ యజంతే నామ యజ్ఞైస్తే దంబా దంబేనా విధ పూర్వకం. సెల్ఫ్ కంప్లసెంట్ ఆర్ ఆల్వేస్ ఇంప్యూడెంట్ డెల్యూడెడ్ బై వెల్త్ అండ్ ఫాల్స్ ప్రెస్టేజ్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ పర్ఫార్మ్ sacrifices in the name only without following any rules and regulations. Sometimes animal sacrifices are performed very gorgeously with grand arrangements for worshiping God as Kali, but such festivals, although performed in the name of yajna, are not actually yajna, for yajna means to satisfy the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is recommended that in this age specifically, yajnaihi sankirtana prayair yajantihi sumedasaha, those who have good intelligence to satisfy the yajna purusha, Vishnu, by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Envious persons, however, are condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as follows. అహంకారం బలం దర్పం కామం క్రోధం ససమాశ్రితః మమ ఆత్మ పరదేహేషు ప్రద్విషంతో అభయాశుకః తన్ ఆహం దుష్టః క్రూరాన్ సంసారేషు నరాధమాన్ క్షిప్యామి అజశ్రం అశుభాన్ ఆశ్రయిషు యయోనిషు. బివిల్డర్డ్ బై ఫాల్స్ ఈగో, స్ట్రెంగ్త్, ప్రైడ్, లస్ట్ అండ్ యాంగర్, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in his own body and in the body of others, and blasphemes against real religion. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Srimad Bhagavad Gita 16-19. These persons are condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as indicated by the words tava kopaha. One who commits murder is envious of himself and also the person he has killed, for the result of committing murder is that he will be arrested and hanged. If one transgresses the law of man-made government, he may escape being killed by the state, but one cannot escape the laws of God. A killer of any animal must be killed in his next life by the same animal. This is the law of nature. One must follow the instructions of the Supreme Lord, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. If one follows any other religion, system of religion, he is subject to punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in many different ways. Therefore, if one follows a concocted system of religion, he is envious not only of others but also of himself. Consequently, the system of religion is useless. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8 says, Dharma Svanushtita Pumsam Vishvakshena Katasuyaha నోత్పాదయేత్ ఇతి రతిం శ్రమయేవ హి కేవలం. డ్యూటీస్ ధర్మ ఎగ్జిక్యూటెడ్ బై మెన్ రిగార్డ్లెస్ ఆఫ్ ఆక్యుపేషన్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ సో మచ్ యూస్లెస్ లేబర్ ఇఫ్ దే డు నాట్ ప్రొవోక్ అట్రాక్షన్ ఫర్ ద మెసేజ్ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్. ఫాలోయింగ్ ఎ సిస్టమ్ ఆఫ్ రిలీజియన్ దట్ డస్ నాట్ అవేకన్ వన్స్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆర్ గాడ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇస్ మియర్లీ వేస్ట్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ అండ్ లేబర్. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానంజనశలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందే అహం శ్రీగురూన్ శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సఘగన రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం. శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సఘగన లలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానోసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమావం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. మామ విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే జప్తాగస్వామిని నామిని. నమాచరపదాయన తగ్వాపదాయని గౌరగతదాముడైన గర్గ్రహతారిని ముఖం క్రోతి వాచాలం పంగం గాయతే గిరి మీద కృపాత్మకం ముందే శ్రీ గురు తారణం ప్రమానంద మాధవం శ్రీ చైతన్యేశ్వరం. కథాంచన స్మృతే యస్మిన్ దుష్కరం సుకరం భవేత్ విస్మృతే ప్రీతం స్యాత్ శ్రీ చైతన్య నమామితం. ఇట్స్ ఎ ప్రెటీ లాంగ్ పర్పర్ట్. ఐ విల్ రీడ్ ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అగైన్. How can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained by causing pain to oneself due to self-envy, and by causing pain to others one arouses your anger and practices irreligion? So this is prayer of Chitraketu. Chitraketu is seeing Sankarsana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, face to face, and then he is offering very beautiful prayers, and especially this prayer is actually speaking from his own realization, because Chitraketu not long before went through this process of self-envy. The verse actually talks about a very interesting concept, which is swaparadruha. There is paradruha, this we know, that we are envious of others, but there is also swadruha, which means that we are envious of ourselves. This is a very interesting concept which Bhagavatam is presenting, that yeah, you are envious of yourself also, because when one becomes envious of Krishna, automatically one becomes envious of himself, because Krishna is the root, he is the mula. So the logic also applies on the opposite side. If you satisfy Krishna, you satisfy everyone. But if you are envious of Krishna, you are envious of everyone including yourself. So it's just a flip of the logic, but it applies on both sides. So this envy is the real problem, because the original envy against Krishna is what making us to come to the material world. That's why in the Mangalacharana verse, the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva is clearly saying that if you want to enter Srimad Bhagavatam, then the qualification is that you should be non-envious. He says that dharma projito kaitavo atra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. So the first thing one does is that he simply kicks out all the cheating religion, dharma projita. Kaitava, dharma is pravujjitaha, it's just kicked out, okay? And then one accepts to be non-envious. Nirmatsaranam satam, one becomes satam. Satam means one becomes a devotee by accepting to be non-envious. The proposal that I should be non-envious is accepted by that person. Nirmatsaranam satam. When one actually becomes non-envious, then one understands vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam. One actually understands what is auspicious for him. Shivadam means auspicious. And what is auspicious for him? That vastavam atra vastu, that is what is auspicious for him. What is that vastavam vastu? That is simply the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the jiva and the maya. The divine triangle, if you want to call it. The relationship between Krishna, jiva and maya. This is the vastavam atra vastu. This is the actual sense of knowledge. When one can know this knowledge, when one becomes non-envious. Nirmatsaranam satam. And the effect of knowing this knowledge is tapatrayon mulanam. All the three types of miseries, they no longer matter. Which means that the experience of these miseries is uprooted from one's material mind. Because one's material mind is simply the reason for experiencing these miseries. Not that these miseries are not there. One should not misunderstand that if I become non-envious, I will not be miserable. I will not experience externally the miseries. It will be there. For example, birth is a misery. Death is a misery. Old age is a misery. Disease is a misery. Not that if I become non-envious, I will not be diseased. I will be diseased. But simply, I will not experience the misery of the disease. Because the disease simply becomes a tool to go back home, back to Godhead. So the disease is welcome. Welcome disease. Disease is welcome. This is not some new concept. Kunti Maharani is saying, she's saying that please give me more trouble. She's saying that if you keep giving me trouble, I can keep seeing your lotus feet. And I know for sure that if I keep seeing your lotus feet, one thing is going to happen. I am simply going to cross over this ocean of material existence and I am going to reach you. So troubles are welcome. So this is how tapatrayonmulanam happens. That what becomes troublesome, what is tapakari? Tapakari means what is actually giving the heat of material existence, that simply becomes the cooling rays of the moon of Lord Chaitanya. This is the whole trick. It's called, in modern management, it's called as paradigm shift. You make a paradigm shift that everything you see as miserable simply becomes an object of enjoyment. An object which gives actually enjoyment, gives actually pleasure. Vishwam purna sukhayate. This whole world is giving so much bliss because wherever I see in this whole world, Krishna, I simply see you. I don't see anything else. I see you in birth, I see you in death, I see you in old age, I see you in misery, death, disease, everything. But what is stopping us from making this paradigm shift is envy. This envy is actually making us from stopping us from making this paradigm shift. Because the nature of envy is like this. Envy means that you can't stand the right of the other living entity to live and enjoy. You just can't stand it. Oh, how can an other living entity exist and enjoy? This is wrong. It should not exist, it should not enjoy. Simply, I should exist, I should enjoy. This cow is existing, it is enjoying, it is eating grass and it is giving milk, kill it. And put it on my plate and let me eat it. So the grossest exhibition of envy is meat eating. Because it's not only that you cannot stand the existence of that animal, but you also want to eat that animal and digest it. Finished. Let my digestive system become the graveyard of that animal. Let me just eat it and digest it. So the envy is so gross that the grossest exhibition of envy becomes meat eating. And Prabhupada is discussing so elaborately about this. And he talks about slaughterhouses, that no religious system allows slaughterhouse. I was in Muslim country for a long time. And I had many friends who were Muslims. So I used to ask them, does your religion allow slaughterhouse? They say, no, it doesn't allow slaughterhouse. Yes, it allows meat eating, but restricted meat eating. If one bigger animal can be killed to spare the life of many smaller animals, then that should be done. It's an injunction in their scripture. There is no space in their scripture to build a huge slaughterhouse and just chak, 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 chak. There is no injunction. There is no space. No sane religious system will allow unrestricted killing of animals. So this is the grossest exhibition of envy. Now we say, no, we are devotees. So we have nothing to do with this. Oh, these people, they are karmis, they are envious, they eat meat. But we are devotees. We are chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we've got nothing to do with these people. So when we touch Bhagavatam with this idea, I am Nirmat Saranam, I have got nothing to do with these people, then Bhagavatam showcases many different types of devotees who are victims of envy. And they are not ordinary people. They are not ordinary people. In fourth canto, there is Daksha. Daksha is not ordinary man. He is Daksha. He is expert. He is expert. He is son of Brahma. One doesn't just like that become son of Brahma. He is son of Brahma. But he is envious of Lord Shiva. He cannot stand to see that everyone is respecting Lord Shiva. Why he has to get respect? This fellow, he is actually wearing skull garland. See me, I am so much dressed with gold. I am so effulgent. Every demigod of whatever worth stands up when I enter the assembly. But how dare this skull garland fellow does not stand up? So envious. So envious of Lord Shiva. And then we come and then we see great personality, Priyavrata. The whole of fourth canto, the whole of fourth canto, everyone of any worth is telling all the kings, leave the kingdom, go to the forest. Leave the kingdom, go to the forest. Consistently every king is told, leave the kingdom, go to the forest. And comes the beginning of fifth canto, there is Priyavrata. He has an impeccable spiritual master. Impeccable spiritual master, Narada. And he has already left his kingdom. He is sitting in the forest. And he is practicing Brahmacharya. Looks a perfect setting. Oh, everyone has been asked to go to forest. And here is one person who has already gone to forest. Who has the most qualified spiritual master. He is practicing Brahmacharya. And then his father Manu comes and tells him, my dear son, leave the forest. Go and rule the country. And then the son is saying, Dad, this is not the way it is. Everyone has to go to forest. Please read fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone has to go to forest. And I am already in forest. You are asking me to do the reverse. It doesn't work like that. And then Brahma comes. And what Brahma says? Don't be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Priyavrata. The Lord wants you to go and enjoy the material opulence. Accept material opulence. So, a great personality like Priyavrata, he is advised, don't be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When it seems that he is doing the right thing, the politically right thing, still he is told, don't be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can see how deep-rooted, how subtle can envy be. And then comes sixth canto. We have two personalities who are juxtaposed to each other. Bhagavatam always does this. It takes two personalities, it keeps them side by side. And then we study both of them. And there's a lot of fun in studying them because they do all these different things. And it's so much learning which comes from them. It keeps Ajamila and Chitraketu. One near the other. And then we see Ajamila. Ajamila sees a Shudra with a Shudrani enjoying sex. He becomes so envious. Why this Shudra is enjoying this Shudrani? Why can't I enjoy this Shudrani? Bring her to my house, make her my servant, mind, I'll start enjoying her. And then he becomes so sinful. He leaves all his Brahminical qualities. He becomes a dacoit. He becomes a murderer. He becomes a gambler. He becomes a drinker. And then we say, Ajamila. Useless fellow. That's what envy does to a Brahmana. Very pious Brahmana. Very great. But still, envy attacks him and then he's finished. I say, he's pious, but he was not strong. So he's finished. So comes Chitraketu. Very pious, very strong, fixed in piety. Very fixed in piety. but envious. What is his envy? Oh, everyone has a son, I don't have a son. He is obsessed with this idea of having a son. I have so many million wives. I'm trying very hard. No son. One fellow has one wife and so many sons. And this Krishna, he has 16,108 wives, 10 sons each. Too much. And I cannot get one son. He's obsessed with this idea that I should get one son. He's so envious. So Angira comes and then tells him, Angira says, oh, this person is so envious. Even if I give him transcendental knowledge, he's not going to work for him. Okay, he wants son, give him a son. Harsha Shoka. It's a package. Whenever you are envious, you get a package in material world. What is the package? That package gives little enjoyment and lot of misery. This is the package. Harsha Shoka. In the beginning, there is little enjoyment. Harsha is first. Then there is unlimited Shoka. Always lamentation. So Bhagavatam is simply telling us that it doesn't matter you are qualified as Daksha. It doesn't matter you are unqualified as Ajamila. It doesn't matter you are fixed in piety like Chitraketu. If you are envious, you are finished. Bhagavatam is simply telling us this one message. That be careful. Don't be envious. Don't think that because I am a devotee, I am free of envy. These are great devotees. These are not ordinary people. They are great devotees. But because of envy, they simply fall down. So then, it is very prudent to analyze what causes envy. Because if we take all these different cases, the case studies which I presented now, very briefly, we can see there's a common thread which is running between them. And that common thread is the cause of envy. What is that common thread? The common thread is simply obsession to sex life. If one is obsessed with sex life, one has to be envious. Daksha is expert in sex life. He can produce millions of children. And what is the result of that envy? He became a goathead. That's what happens. One is obsessed with sex life and then becomes envious. He loses his power to reason. He becomes a goathead. So one has to be very careful that what is happening to us in our life. There are different systems of organized envy. So the whole material civilization is simply obsessed with sex life. So because it is obsessed with sex life, it has an organized envy. This organized envy against Krishna is called as the constitution of the countries. This is organized envy. Because many envious people who are very intelligent, they pour all their intelligence to produce a most envious book called as Constitution of the Country, Indian Constitution, American Constitution, this country's constitution, that country's constitution. Why it is so envious? Because one does not need to reinvent law. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The laws which govern the humanity are already there in the Vedas. And it is given by Krishna. So one need not use his cow-killing intelligence to make a law that killing cow is legal. This is simply envy against Krishna. And Prabhupada says, there's one beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Rishabhadev is saying, Nayam deho deha bhajam riloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam sudhyet yasmat brahma saukyam tunantam. Don't think you are this body. This is self-envy. Nayam deho deha bhajam. Don't become deha bhajam. Don't do everyday morning mangalarti to your body. So we do everyday morning mangalarti to our body standing in front of the mirror. Put this, put that, put this. Don't do Mangala Arati to your body. Don't become Dehabhajam. So, then, if you become Dehabhajam, then what you have to do? Kashtan Kaman Arhate. You have to simply go through misery. So, but some austerity is to be taken. So, what austerity is to be taken? Tapo Divyam Putraka. My dear children, please do transcendental austerity. Tapo Divyam Putraka. And it is very interesting that Prabhupada gave many, many connotations of this word Tapo Divyam. Prabhupada gave many, many connotations of this word. He gave many meanings. He gave many lectures on these verses. He gave about 30 odd lectures on these verses. And then he gave many interpretations to Tapo Divyam. One of the very interesting interpretations which Prabhupada gave for Tapo Divyam is that one man should be satisfied with one woman and one woman should be satisfied with one man. So this is one interesting interpretation Prabhupada gives. Because if we don't do that, then we become envious. Then we start thinking, oh, Ravana is thinking, oh, Sita, she's Rama's wife. Can we send Surpanaka to make Rama divorce Sita and then marry Sita? Does it work? No, it doesn't work. Surpanaka's nose is cut, comes back. Okay, now what to do? Let me carry Sita. Envy. Envious of Krishna, that why Krishna should enjoy. And then that enviousness extends, that why this person should enjoy, why this man should enjoy this woman, why this woman should enjoy this man, why can't I get into this, make a law, slap a paper on Krishna's face and then say everything is legal, I can take another man's wife or I can take another man's husband. Very difficult, very difficult. So one has to be very careful. So normally we discuss so much what to do, but we don't discuss so much how to do. So how to save oneself from envy is very important. So the clue of how to save oneself from envy is also found in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that clue is found in two words. They are Kritibi and Shushrushu. That one has to become Kritibi and one has to become Shushrushu. Kritibi means that one becomes sinless and applies himself in the process of devotional service. And that quality of becoming sinless and applying himself in the process of devotional service gives him the taste to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And the natural effect of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is that one's envy in the heart is removed. Tava katamritam tapta jivanam kavibiriritam kalmashapaham shravana mangalam Srimad adatam bhuvi grinantiye bhuridajana. This is what the gopis sing. That this is the most auspicious thing because it is kalmashapaham. It will remove the envy from one's heart. So practically what it means? Practically it simply means that one strictly follows the four regulative principles and try to chant minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, avoiding offense. Does it sound very familiar? So practically this is what it means to become Kritibi. Practically, this is what it means. So, all the tools to become non-envious and enter Srimad Bhagavatam is already given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We don't have to get bewildered that how will I become non-envious? One becomes non-envious simply by strictly following the instructions of the spiritual master. Nothing more. Equally important, nothing less. If there is something less, then one is susceptible to envy. So finally, because it is Damodar month, I want to touch a little bit on Damodar Leela, which is very relevant to this topic, and then finish this. So in Damodar Leela also, there are two personalities who are very envious. They are Nalakuvera and Manigriva. They are very envious of Narad Muni. They are thinking, oh, this Narada is a sage. If he is coming, why I should dress up? I am a great man's son. Let me stand naked. What's the big deal? Why should I respect him? And Narada says, oh, good, you're envious. And you're not only envious of me, you're also envious of the trees. Because the trees are the one by nature stand naked. So if a person, human being, wants to stand naked, then that means that is an expression of envy of the trees. Oh, why this tree can stand naked? Why cannot I stand naked? Jai, become a tree. So, Narada is so merciful that he removes the envy from their heart. Why are you envious of trees? Just become a tree. Satisfy your desire. Become Arjuna trees. Of course, they were so fortunate that Krishna came and relieved them from the curse. So the point is that all these different things, so subtle, sometimes we think, oh, what is there in the dress? This is external. Is external. What is there in the dress? Why everyone is obsessed so much with dress? Oh, dress nicely, cover yourself, dress properly. Why so much people are obsessed with it? Oh, I am a devotee. I'm not this body. So if I'm not this body, I'm not this dress also. So what's the big deal? The big deal is that if you have an inherent attitude to expose yourself, you're simply showing the envy for trees. And if you're envious of trees, there's a good chance you'll end up being a tree. And that's exactly not what we want. So, you can see that this envy is like, it's like an underlying principle. A few classes before, Adiprash Prabhu was explaining Anya Bilashita Sunyam. So, he was explaining about the Tha. The Tha means the intrinsic nature of entity. The intrinsic nature of a conditioned soul that is that he is envious. So from that intrinsic nature of being envious, if we simply follow the four regulative principles strictly, and if we try to chant minimum 16 rounds without offense, we can be properly situated in our normal intrinsic position, which is Jivera Sarupohaya Krishnera Nitya Dasa. So with this, we'll stop. We'll take about one or two questions, if it is there, or comments. Yes, Prabhu. By the way, it's 8:45. If someone wants to leave, can leave.
Thank you, sir. Sir, my question may be a layman question, sir. Thing is, the surrendering process, how to follow it practically, sir? Surrender.
Yeah.
But how to follow it practically, sir?
How to practically surrender?
Yeah.
This is your question.
Yeah. It may be a layman question, sir, but I want to understand.
No. This is not a layman question. This is what is the question I am struggling with for so many years, maybe. Okay. How to practically surrender? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, how to practically surrender is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tatvadashinaha. That the first sign of a person giving up envy is that he accepts the spiritual master as authority. Because an envious person cannot accept authority. So what one has to do, one has to find a spiritual master who is qualified and then accept him as authority. And then he asks questions in a very humble mood that how to practice devotional service. So when he asks that question in a very humble mood, how to practice devotional service, the spiritual master will give the answer that follow four regulative principles. Try to chant minimum 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, without doing offenses, and your process of surrender is already started. So this is very practical. There's nothing impractical in this, that one should find a spiritual master and then one should surrender to the spiritual master, start chanting Hare Krishna, and then follow the four regulative principles. So the first practical step for you would be to start chanting Hare Krishna. When you start chanting Hare Krishna, you can also find a spiritual master. When you find a spiritual master, he will again confirm to you to start to continue chanting Hare Krishna and follow four regulative principles. So the four regulative principles are no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. So if one simply accepts to follow the four regulative principles, and then one accepts to chant Hare Krishna without offense, by accepting a spiritual master, the process of surrender has already started. Make sense? Okay. Mataji? Yeah. Okay, so I already explained Kritibi simply means that you agree to give up sinful activity and then you agree to take up the process of devotional service. So we give up sinful activity by strictly following the four regulative principles. So we said the negative connotations of four regulative principles, but there's also some positive connotation of four regulative principles. The positive connotation is that one only simply eats only prasadam. When we say that no meat eating, it simply means that one eats only prasadam. One should not be envious of Krishna and then think why I should offer everything to this person. Why I should eat what he is eaten. This is envy for Krishna. So one should very strictly offer everything to Krishna and eat. So if one wants to strictly offer everything to Krishna and eat, then Krishna is a great personality. He doesn't just like that take anything. Even though he makes his requirement very simple, patram pushvam phalam toyam, but he puts a caveat there. There's a fine print there. Yo me bhaktya prayachati. He doesn't say yo me factory prayachati. So Krishna doesn't like factory food. Krishna doesn't like factory made food. Krishna likes food which is made by devotees. So when one wants to offer, when one is very sensitive, one cooks nicely. Yeah? One does not take some tinned stuff and then tell Krishna, okay, eat it, remove all the sin, I can take it. This is also envy of Krishna. We think Krishna is our order supplier. So one cooks nicely for Krishna, or one arranges to cook nicely for Krishna and then one offers. This is the positive side of no meat eating. And there's no intoxication. So no intoxication also means that one does not get intoxicated by profit, adoration and distinction. Because Prabhupada says that if one is intoxicated by this profit, adoration and distinction, it is simply a sign of sex life. And sex life means envy. Of course, there is sex life which is strictly in the principles of Krishna consciousness, which is not envy. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshaba, Krishna says. Which means that one practices sex life strictly for the purpose of procreation. Otherwise, one abstains from sex. This is not envy of Krishna. This is brahmacharya. This is one type of brahmacharya. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? So there is no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex. One does not envy another man's wife or another woman's husband, whatever. One is simply satisfied with this quota. Ma grida kascha svidhanam. Because if one is not satisfied with his quota, then one becomes a killer of the soul, atmaha. This is explained in Ishopanishad. And then no intoxication. We dealt with no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling. No gambling means that one accepts that everything which is happening in his life is as per Krishna's plan. This is called no gambling. It's not that by chance someone came into your life and giving you trouble. It's not by chance. It's Krishna's plan. Because when one starts chanting Hare Krishna, what Krishna does is that he takes his horoscope and then tosses it in Ganga. And then says, okay, now I am going to control your karma. It's called Krishna karma sometimes. So I am going to control your karma. So if you're chanting Hare Krishna and getting into trouble, and if you think that I don't deserve this, this is gambling mentality. Because you think Krishna is not under control. Something is under control. Something else is under control. So it's very subtle, very, very subtle, the positive side of following regulative principles, to become Kritibi. And then Shushushu means that one is very eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. One has great eagerness to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is called Shushushu. Shushushu, Sadhadhanasya, Vasudeva, Kataruchihi, Swan Mahatsevaya Vipraha, Punya Tirtha Nishevanat, Bhagavatam says. That how to become Shushushu practically? If you want to become Shushushu, then you have to find a Mahat, a great personality, and then do service to him. And for us, we have a saying in Tamil, in my language, we have a saying that we are keeping butter in the hand and we are searching for ghee. Okay? But I am saying that we are keeping ghee in the mouth and then we are searching for ghee, if you are searching for a Mahat. Because we have our Mahat who is sitting, Prabhupada. So if we simply serve the instruction of Prabhupada, then we will get this taste to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And what Prabhupada is saying, how to serve Srila Prabhupada's instruction, Prabhupada is saying, follow four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds minimum without offense, and try to preach. So this is what Prabhupada is saying. Very simple, very basic, very practical. So by serving Srila Prabhupada, one can get the taste to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Then that's how one becomes Shushushu. So if one agrees to become Kritibi and Shushushu, it's a practice. It takes some time and it needs practice. Even though Bhagavatam very clearly says it takes only one chana. If one completely is Kritibi and Shushushu, it just takes one chana. Atra Kritibi, Shushushubi, Tachanat, it says. In one chana, less than a second, Krishna will sit in our heart. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasa Daiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Gunasurupam. In one chana, this can be experienced. But the problem is that we drag the process because we want equally Krishna and Maya. So then we cannot give up our envy, so we drag the process. But this is the basis, how to, what is Kritibi and what is Shushushu. It's okay. Okay, it's already time. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.